You are listening to a colorful episode of the Furlabros Tech Podcast. So sticking with the same iOS vein, Apple has confirmed that cards for iOS is going to be discontinued.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
A super cool app where you could take a photo and then turn that photo into a card.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And add an address and, you know, hit the send button. And I forget how much it was. It was like $3 or $4. And then they would print and mail a physical card to whoever you put in your contact for that. So
were they
like,
using HP printers? Is that why you think it was super cool?
I do know that they used HP printers, but that's not super important. Okay. No, we used it, so like when Jesse and I went to Las Vegas and we did our vacation, we were like, oh, we should send postcards to families, and I was like, no. So what we did was we had someone else take our photo in front of the New York hotel, and we got our photo, we sat down, set up the card, picked what it was, wrote our little message, and then we sent it while sitting there. And it was like, you didn't have to find a postcard, it was personalized, you didn't have to find stamps, you didn't have to find a mailbox, you know, you just kind of did it all right there. And then they got it, and you know, with notifications, we could tell exactly when it arrived, which was cool. So we've done that a few times. We did one, I think it was like for Father's Day or something. I went into, you know, photos that both of our dads had sent, and then Jesse and I, we photoshopped ourselves and Vinny into the photo. So like one of them was like for our dad when he had won that Flycasters award, so it was a picture of him holding the award. And so I photoshopped Jesse and myself, and then instead of the award, I put Vinny in there instead.
It was
holding Vinny. And then I think, you know, the comment was like, remember that one time you won that award? Yeah, that was awesome, huh? You know, just like, and it was same with like with her dad. We had one of him like fishing. And so I put us into the boat with him, and instead of a fish that he was holding, it was holding Vinny again. So remember that one time you got that fish? Yeah, that was awesome. But we had those sent as cards, and super cool. It was so kind of a bummer to see that go. I know there's a bunch of third-party apps that were already kind of doing it.
Yeah, and doesn't HP actually have like a straight-up competitive product with that?
No, not really. But HP should be thinking about doing it because it was a good idea. Just not big enough volume for Apple to worry about it.
Right. Doesn't merit it.
Be my guess. Also on the app front, McDonald's is playing around with a new mobile phone. You can order and pay with your phone, and then you just pick it up at the store. It sounds like something McDonald's would do.
What are they doing? Sorry.
Don't get distracted here. It's a McDonald's app where you order your food and you pay within the app, and then you just pick it up at the store.
That's awesome. I totally take advantage of that.
I know. I was like, this is sweet. I was telling Jessie that. She's like, that's the dumbest thing ever. I was like, what?
Yeah, they're so fast already. That's not really a huge perk. Whereas I do take advantage of those types of apps at restaurants where I know that they take a little while.
Well, what I like about it is they, in some ways, they're locking you in, right? You go, I'm hungry. And you drive around, and there's a chance that there's a Burger King or a Carl's Jr. across the street. And now what they do is you go, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, well, look on the app. Oh, look, there's one 2 blocks away. You order your food. You've already paid. You're not going to Burger King.
I will be honest. I am a little too pretentious to have a McDonald's app on my iPhone. I got the 7-Eleven app, and so I wanted to – I love Slurpees. I have a problem. And after 24 hours, it's like, I just can't have this on my phone. Like, I don't, what if somebody saw it?
Jeez.
I'd feel the same way about McDaniels. But the other issue that really arises with that is that I've eaten at McDonald's once in the last, 8 months. So I wouldn't really take advantage of it too much. Once again, because of my pretension. But
fair enough, fair enough.
You know, but it's cool. I'm glad they're doing it because it's, you know, I think everybody's going to do it eventually. And McDonald's is often the leader in that sort of thing, you know.
So in public / private news, Dell has going private. What is it? They're giving the money back to the shareholders, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That one works. Dell, you knew you were going to eat those words someday. So, yeah, for those of you who have forgotten, when Apple was in trouble, Dell's advice to them was to give money back to the shareholders and close the doors.
Yeah.
Or close the doors and give the money back to the shareholders. Yes. And so Dell isn't closing, but they are going private so they can do their turnaround outside of the light of the public eye. So they had a whole bunch of hurdles, and it was a big pain in the rear end from what I understand, but they were able to raise $24.9 billion, and they're going to make it happen.
Well, what's frustrating too is the dude that was like the biggest stick in the mud for the whole process actually was like, it was going to happen one week, and like everybody was like, wow, they're going to go private this one week, and I can't remember the dude's name all of a sudden, but he was like
Carl Icahn.
Carl Icahn. He held the whole thing up. This one, he's the problem. He was like suing them, said basically,
well, what happened is they did a deal for a smaller amount than 24.9. And he was like, whoa, 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 that's way too cheap. My shares are worth more than that. And so, and, you know, they were like, well, forget you, we're going on. And so his was like, oh, no, you're not. I'm going to raise my own capital. And he was like, I can raise more money than you, and then I'll buy it for more.
Yeah.
You know, I'll basically offer more than you are, Michael Dell. And so that was where it erupted in this huge fight. And, you know, and then he put like this essentially, you know, vote of no confidence on Michael Dell, and was like, man, you shouldn't even be the one that's doing it. And so eventually Michael Dell and his cohorts were like, okay, we'll figure out how to do more money. And so they upped the ante, and so he was like, all right, I'm good, you can do it now.
Icahn is a shark, dude. He is brutal. And yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, dude, yeah, he is a, I'd love to have him on my team. Because he's a monster, but don't get on the, if you're on the other side of him, he's going to beat the snot out of you. And as soon as it, like the day he got paid, well, pretty much it was Dell went private on Tuesday. Like it actually happened on Tuesday. So he got his money. And that day Apple announced and that the iPhone was, you know, collapsing, and, or, you know, that's not what I meant. They announced the iPhone and their stock collapsed, dropped 5%, and Icahn went, well, look at all this money that I have, and went out and just went on a buying spree for Apple stock, and you're just like, oh, Tim Cook is going to be in over his head with this dude.
Yeah, which it was funny. I got a couple notes from people that are like, oh my gosh, the price dropped. Do you see that? They must not be happy with the iPhone. I was like, are you kidding me? This happens every single time.
Yeah,
this
it just
is not
doesn't...
a surprise.
You know,
it's what
just...
happens. We all get excited, then they show what it really is, and the price instantly drops.
I do think that this is. I do think that it was worse this time than it was in the past because of the whole cheap iPhone thing. I feel like that's the sort of thing. You
yeah,
know,
but I loved where someone was like, you know what, you that's a no-win situation, okay? Because you come out and go, okay, no cheap iPhone. They go, oh, we thought it would be cheap, down the price. Or you come out with a cheap iPhone, they're like, yeah, we're happy, until you come out with your earnings report and you show that margins are tighter now as a result of the cheap iPhone, and they hammer your stock price. Like, come
well,
on, you can't win.
What I was going to say, I don't disagree with the strategy that they're taking, mostly because I'm not an investor and it doesn't affect me directly. So it would be really ridiculous for me to disagree with it. What I was going to say is I feel like it's the sort of thing that Steve Jobs and I hate, you know, I oftentimes try to not pull the Steve Jobs would have done it differently card, because you know, that's just a ridiculous argument to make. You know, who knows what he would have done. But I feel like this is something he would have done differently and better, definitely, which is they would have leaked 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago that it's not going to be a cheap iPhone. And that was a rumor that just hung out there for so long. And it was just that it became expected. It became, well, obviously, the cheap iPhone is going to be the cheap iPhone. Why would it not be the cheap iPhone?
Well, I honestly think that Cook wanted to be like, look, you guys got it wrong. Take that.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, well, because he talked about doubling down on leaks and all that stuff, and I think that he, you know, that was his way of getting back in it. So
interesting. Okay, maybe.
Other public news. Twitter tweeted that that they said, we've confidentially submitted an S-1 to the SEC for a planned IPO. This tweet does not constitute an offer for any securities for sale. So Twitter's gone public.
Woohoo!
Confidentially, if you know what I mean. Which at first, it's kind of, you know, it's not confident because they tweeted it, which is funny. But apparently, a little more digging, if you do a small enough IPO or like something like that, you can do a confidential one where you don't tell anybody what the amount is or something weird like that. Which I'm like, does it matter? What people tend to think is it's because their revenue isn't really that big.
Right.
Which is why they can do it. We'll learn a lot more as the spotlight turns off of Apple and then back on the Twitter as they're getting ready to do their stuff, which I think they're going to do by the end of the year. So,
cool. That's exciting.
That's coming up. Yeah. It should be fun. What was the other? Oh, yeah. So TechCrunch Disrupt in San Francisco also happened this week, which is an opportunity for a bunch of startups to, talk about how awesome they are and try to get money and win stuff like that. So the team that won this year, and then we'll talk about the runner-up, was a company called Layer, LAYER. And they won $50,000. Congratulations, guys.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, they went up against a whole bunch of startups, and you know they're cool. But essentially what they've created is a communications platform, so think IM, think voice calls and video calls, that you can add to your app with like 10 lines of code.
Whoa.
So you no longer have to, you know, so if you have a bunch of users and it makes sense for them to chat to each other, you don't have to try to build that in anymore. You just layer on top. The awesome. The example they used was like, you know, with paying, right? For payments, you're like, PayPal, couple lines of code, cut and paste, boom. You've got yourself a shopping cart ready to go.
Nice.
So they were trying to do the same thing for communication stuff. So they won, which is cool. And then the other one, the runner-up, was a company called Dryft, Dryft. The guys who made this are... one of the co-founders is the guy who invented, Swipe, which is, you know, the one on the Android devices where you just swipe your hands around, you don't actually type anything.
Right.
So that guy who created that, they're coming out with Dryft, which is for tablets, essentially. So it's still keyboard-based, but it's a keyboard for your tablet instead. So Swipe was for like a single hand. Dryft is for two hands. And so like one of the things that it'll do is if you put down your eight fingers, it then knows where your two index fingers are and will position the keyboard over them. And,
nice.
So it conforms to who you are. And you start typing like you would as if you were a touch typer. And if your hands start to move, the keyboard will, you know, they start to notice, you know what, you're a little off on the K there. You're starting to move over to the right a little bit. It will actually adjust that right side of the keyboard so that the keys fall underneath your fingers again.
I like that a lot.
So, yeah. And then the other one that they were talking about, which I thought was interesting, is they said you pick a word like in or on. Where the I and the O are right next to each other. It's like, and it's super hard to tell which one did you mean.
And
so he's like, so if it's in the middle, they're like, dude, I don't know. You know, you can't let context tell you. So they also use the accelerometer, and he goes, and what we know is that your index finger hits harder than your pinky finger. So if you're spelling the word, you know, in, and we feel that it's a hard one, which we know because we've been kind of paying attention to how you type. We know that you meant the word in. If it's kind of soft, we know you meant the word on.
That's cool. I mean, because Apple's iMusic thing for I can't remember. I think it's GarageBand. Doesn't matter. Their music app for the iPad took advantage of the accelerometer. Same basic technology. In order to the harder you hit, the louder the notes. They could do different loudness of notes, which everybody thought was really clever at the time. I mean, this is using the same idea. That's cool. I like that app.
Yeah. So they're talking about, you know, selling it or licensing it to OEMs, which means we'll never see it on an Apple device, but you'll see it on a bunch of Android devices, and I'm sure it will be super ridiculously popular. I do feel like keyboards are a place that can be dramatically improved. I just listened to you complaining about autocorrect, and that's still a place that's ripe for redisruption, if you will. It was great that we got them, and what was interesting too is that they talked about like typing. And they said that it used to be when you're on a regular keyboard, like the average was like 60 words per minute, which I was like, huh, not me, but okay. So like it was fast. And that what they found was, you know, with typewriters and then the keyboards, it's slowly kept growing to 60. And now it's kind of drop off a cliff when tablets were introduced. So like it's like way down. So it's like, so productivity's down. And so his whole thing was like, we need to figure out how to get typing and productivity go fast again. And then you won't mind typing on your tablet because it's just as fast as on a keyboard. So that was kind of what their goal was and what they were working towards. And sound like that's some cool ideas. I mean, clearly this dude gets it. His original like job or whatever, you know, passion that he did before keyboards was he worked with handicapped folks or people who were disabled or injured to teach them how to type again and to think about typing strategies. So like he worked with Stephen Hawking on, you know, here's how you can write essentially. So his background was thinking about typing and communicating with the written word in ways that are, you know, you don't have working 10 digits type stuff. And, and they said what was super interesting about it is in his background, it was all about getting people who couldn't type normally to essentially type normally.
Right.
Excuse me. And now they're like, now we're going the opposite way. Now with tablets, we're trying to get normal people to type as if they were disabled because it's genuinely faster and it will actually go better. But yeah, pretty interesting. So they were the runner up, but I thought it was, still an interesting application.
Yeah, definitely.
They're both in development. They're not available yet, but they were the winners of TechCrunch Disrupt San Francisco 2013.
Woohoo! Cool. I like it. Yeah. So I guess I'll throw my last two stories in really super fast. Microsoft released an iPhone bashing video that we'll link. I don't know if it's worth it. It's kind of visual in that it's incredibly embarrassing. It's just kind of a... Everybody who, you know, we don't need to play it because it's kind of long and it's just, they basically go through and mock the whole iPhone creation process and everything. And
nice.
They're like, you guys, what are you doing with your life right now? Like, you're not exactly in a place to, you know, be, you know, just brutally mocking like that. And, you know, I think they're still upset about the whole I'm a Mac, I'm a PC thing. they haven't really gotten over it. And so now they're like, oh, it's our turn to be mean. And it just comes off as, I don't know. It comes off as bad as the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, but without the charisma of two great actors or the comedy writing of the team. It's just a much worse quality with all of the juvenile nature of the whole thing. So it's kind of embarrassing. The other thing is that Microsoft got their arms twisted into releasing Windows 8.1 for developers early. They were not going to release a beta for developers to be able to start building 8.1 apps. Microsoft's never done that before. They've always released Windows versions early for developers, and nobody can quite figure out why they weren't, and what the heck is going on in Redmond. It's just another one of those like what are you guys doing up there? Like, it's, you know, they're just such, they're in such disarray. Nobody can really figure out what the holistic plan is. And there's been so much rapid change that, and just flailing, trying to figure out what the next step to take is. This sort of thing gets like left off the, you know, it's just a stupid mistake. Why would you scorn your developers like that? Why wouldn't you let them, give them a chance to have the apps ready when 8.1 launches? It's craziness, you know, and it, I don't know. It's weird. Something's, you know, Microsoft really needs to get their act together, you know, and they're pulling a Sony right now, and it's about time that they, you know, they get a new CEO.
Well, they're working on it.
Yeah.
They're working on it.
Hopefully they don't replace them with somebody, you know, who's worse. But
we will see.
Yes, we will. Exciting times.
All right. Cool beans, man. Cool beans. Apple. That happened this week, along with a couple other things. But it was good. Good teardown. I liked it. So, everybody, thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow. And what did we do? How did you start it?
iOS Brother.
Oh, okay. And
not one of my creative ones. Well, not one of my more creative ones.
That's all right. So, I am James Furlow, and my non-creative brother is Matthew Furlow. And so, we will talk next time. Thank you.